We're doing the Ein Yaakov, and we're holding by Daf Gimel and Aleph, both in the Gemara Brachos and in the Ein Yaakov. But our copy is here, but we're not yet up to this page. We're still doing the page we gave out last week, for those of you who held on to the handout from last week. We had discussed the visions of the night, and now we just have a few more lines until we get up to this page. We have a quote from Rav Zrika, the name Ravami, the name Rav Yeshua ben Nevi, and when standing in presence of a corpse, one is to take care not to speak randomly, but rather speak only things that are pertinent to the corpse. Rav Yabba bar Kahana taught us that this is only relevant to words of Torah. You can't stand next to a dead person and start talking divrei Torah. But no, that's not why. One second. But if you want to just have idle chatter near the corpse, that you may do. Now, what's the reasoning behind this reason?
It's like the same thing where it sits. It's when you go to the graveyard. It's like, hey, look, we're sitting here right here talking about telling you, right?
Yeah. So it's the verse states in Mishlei and Proverbs. It says, "Loeg larash cheref oseu." Whoever mocks the poor, that's a disgrace for anyone who does that. They're cheref. They are like cursed out. Whoever dares do that, mchabedo. If you honor him, then that's the way to behave. So you have here this man who's impoverished from mitzvot. He just passed away. So we're not supposed to mock him. And standing in his presence and performing overt mitzvot is a way of mocking him. He can no longer do mitzvot, and here we are, we're basking in mitzvot.
That's only for someone who's aware of it. There's people who are aware of this. I love like that, no?
What can you do? V'kedamri, others say, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana lo amran el afilu b'divrei Torah, v'chol shken mili de'alma. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, you're not allowed to talk even words of Torah. Certainly you're not allowed to stand next to the corpse and just have idle chatter. That's a disgrace of the corpse. Ktiv, one verse says that King David used to pride himself in saying, Chatzot laila kum lodot lecha. I arise in the middle of the night to thank you, God, for the wonderful laws you gave us in the Torah. David, bepalga delele avekai. Is it true? David would awaken in the middle of the night. Meulta avekai. David would be praising his Creator from the beginning of the night. Dichtiv kadamti vaneshev vashaveya. I proceeded to the dusk of nightfall, and that's when I yelled out to my Creator. So the Gemara says, wait a second. It says, I proceeded to Neshev. And we just translated Neshev to mean the dusk of nightfall. How do you know that that's a reference to nightfall? There's a verse that describes night as beginning with Neshev. Am Rabbi Yoshaya, hachi kamar David. So we still have a contradiction. One verse says that David began speaking before his Creator at nightfall. The other verse says he'd awaken and arise himself to praise his Creator at midnight. So Rabbi Yoshaya says, this is what David meant to say. Midnight would never come to pass, and I was sleeping. By midnight, I was always already praising my Creator. Rabbi Zera Amar, now we're holding by the page you all have. Rabbi Zera explains like this. Until midnight, David would delve in Torah as he was drowsing off like a horse that drowses and wakes up and sways to sleep and wakes up. Mikan ve'ela, from midnight onward, hayamit gaber kari, he would strengthen himself like a lion and sing praises before his Creator. Ravashi amar, Ravashi rectified the verses differently. Ad chatzot laila yaosek b'divrei Torah, till midnight he would delve in the words of Torah. Mikan ve'ila, from midnight onward, b'shirot v'tishbachot, he'd start singing songs and praises before his Creator. So the Gemara questions, wait a second, that term Neshev, that David says, I began at Neshev, and we're saying he began learning Torah, and that means dusk, v'neshev ultahu. Neshev is a reference to when the sun goes out. It's some kind of twilight, but maybe it's the twilight in the beginning of the day. Neshev tzafro. Neshev seems to be the morning twilight. Dichtiv, as the verse states, Vaikem David ma'neshva derev lemachotam. That David beat his enemies from Neshev tonight to the following morning. So that seems to indicate that Neshev is from morning to night. It says from Neshev tonight. What's Neshev? Neshev, we know Neshev is a time of change. Neshev literally means to jump out, to jump out of its place. So we're what's yeah, that's also a term of nishifa. So which are you're emitting the breath out of you. So neshif is either when day jumps out or day jumps in. One or the other. So we're not sure. It says that David hit his enemies, the Amalekim, he attacked them and he hit them from neshif to nightfall. So we're assuming that means from morning to nightfall. So the Gemara says, "My love mitzafa vad leila." You think it means from morning to nightfall? Lo meuta vaduta. That verse means to say he was hitting Amalek from evening to evening. It doesn't mean from morning to evening. It means a full 24-hour period. So why did the verse change its terminology? It should have said he beat them from neshef to neshef, or from erev to erev. Why does it say from neshef to erev if it means from evening to evening? Ela, now whenever the Gemara says ela, it means but, and but means I am not accepting what I've said until now. Forget what I said until now, scratch that. Rather, I'm going to give you a different teretz, a different answer. Amarava tvei neshvi havu, rava toras. There are two times that are referred to as neshef. There's neshef lelia, there's the jumping out of night, vata yamama, and day enters. Neshef yamama, the jumping out of day, vata lelia, and the night enters. So neshef can refer to the twilight of evening, or neshef can refer to the twilight when the sun is just beginning to show itself. But David mi'aviyada palgad lelia imat. And did David really know the exact minute of midnight that he could say, I awaken at midnight to praise my Creator? Hashta Moshe Rabbeinu lo aviyada. Moshe didn't know when midnight was exactly. Dichtiv, because when Moshe told Pharaoh and the Egyptians that God will smite the firstborns at midnight, what did he say? He said, Ko amar Hashem. So God said, Kachatzot alayla ani yotze v'toch Mitzrayim. Approximately midnight, I'm going out through Egypt to smite the firstborns. Why did Moshe say approximately midnight? Why my kachatzot? What do you mean by saying approximately midnight? Ah, good, that's the Gemara's answer. If we'll say that God told them approximately midnight, I'll do the plague. Does there exist such a concept as doubt before God that God says approximately midnight? But rather, God said to Moshe, tomorrow I will do the plague of the firstborn at midnight. Kihashta, like now. Midnight, like now. And he came along and he said, tomorrow at midnight, I will give the plague. At approximately midnight, God will give the plague. Meaning when God said, like midnight, God didn't mean like as an approximation, but rather like now, I'm talking to you, it's midnight this second. Like now, tomorrow at this time at midnight, I will do the plague. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said it to Pharaoh, so he left it as an approximation. So we see that Moshe was in doubt. He couldn't figure out exactly when midnight was. You want to tell us David knew? Can it be that David knew something that Moshe didn't know? Answers the Gemara, yeah, David knew something Moshe didn't know. David had a sign. Rav Chana bar Bizna amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Rav Chana bar Bizna quoted Rav Shimon the Chasid. David had a harp hanging above his bed. And when midnight would come, so the winds shift here in Israel, and they're very steady in their rhythm. Those of you who are here in the Machon, you can try it. Open your windows. I don't know how the Machon's positioned, but in my house, you could see it. There are hours in the day when we know which wind is going to blow through which window. You know, the winds change here in Israel, depending on the hour. So David knew that exactly at midnight the winds change, and at midnight the northern wind is exceptionally strong. The northern wind blows with each of the winds, but it blows with
Egypt?
With each of the winds there's a northern wind, but at midnight the northern wind takes on its own strength. So David knew that when midnight would come, the northern wind would blow very strongly, and he had a harp fashioned in a way that when the northern wind blew strongly, the holes of the harp were facing that way, so that it started making music. So that was his alarm clock, his natural alarm clock. So that's how he knew exactly when midnight was. So, he had this harp hanging above his bed. And when midnight would come, the northern wind would come and blow through it, and the harp would play on its own. Achalamu the Shachar. King David would immediately arise and start delving in Torah till the morning came. V'chadan shalamu the Shachar. And when morning would come, Nichnasu Chachmei Yisrael etzlo. The elders would ordinarily come before him. V'omrinu, and they tell him, Adoneinu Amelech, our master, the king. Amcha Yisrael tzichin parnasa. The Jewish people need help with parnasa. Every day they had the same complaint. A little bit strange. Amar lahem, so King David would tell them, Yelchu v'yitpanasu zeh mizeh, let them do business. Our people have money, and they'll do business. They'll make money. Let them sell goods. Let them make money off of one another. Amru lo en hakomets masbi'a tari. They told him, you try sending a small piece of food to a lion, you're not going to make him satiated. V'en habor mitmaleh mechol yato. And if you have a pit that's already dug out, try taking sand from within the pit and filling it. You're not going to fill the pit from within. You always have to bring sand from without. By the same token, we need another source. We need to bring more money into the economy, because we need to bring more goods into the economy, because the people can't make it just with what's here. So he told them, so then you can go out and use the army to conquer more goods. So they wouldn't just go out to war, they take advice from the greatest advisor there was, Achitofel. They'd ask the Sanhedrin for permission to go so that they would pray for them when they were out at war. And they'd ask in the high Kohen Gadol whether they would succeed. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, what's the source for this? That before they'd go to war, they'd go through this whole procedure. Because the verse states, after taking advice from Achitofel, they'd get permission from Yoyada ben Benayahu, who was head of the court, Ve'evyatar's the Sartzval HaMelech Yoav, and then they'd go to Evyatar the Kohen, and only then did the chief general go into action, whose name was Yoav. Achitofel ze Yoetz. Achitofel, what? Yeah. Achitofel, what was his job? His job was to advise. V'chen umerz, the verse states, V'atzat Achitofel ha-shoyatz b'imimim, that Achitofel's advice was as good as asking God. K'ashoy sharel lish v'dvar Elokim.
Yoav is Job?
No. That's Eov. Holding the next page, for those of you who are following. Anyone? Okay. Yoyada ben Benayahu is the Sanhedrin. When it says they'd ask permission of Yoyada ben Benayahu, he's the high court. Top line, we're just finishing top line. Eviatar elu urim mitumim. We're up to the second line. We're on page Dalam, days in the Ein Yaakov. Eviatar, he was the high Kohen Gadol. V'chen umer, as the verse states, v'niyabim Yoyada l'kreti v'al pleiti. Why do we call the Urim V'Tumim Kreti? Because they cut. Whenever you have a question, they cut, they give you a straight answer. They're called Pleiti because their words are exceptional. Yeah. What? Yeah, like Nifla. Very good. And only afterwards would the chief general go out to war. And we'll read a little bit more. Amar Yitzhak Baridi, Rav Yitzhak Baravida said, "V'am Rav Yitzhak Baridi Ravidi Me'ekra." What's the source that King David would awaken by the harp? The verse states, "Urach Evodi, let my honor arise, awaken yourself." King David would say, "Urach Nevel V'Chinor Ha'ir Hashachar, awaken to the sound of the harp and the violin, whatever these instruments are, and I'll awaken the morning. I get up for the morning." Rabbi Zera Amar, Rabbi Zera said, what does it mean, why did Moshe say approximately at midnight? Moshe lo lam aviyada, really Moshe knew exactly when midnight was, but David nami aviyada, and King David also knew exactly when midnight was. They knew how to tell time, even though they didn't have watches in those days, they knew how to tell time exactly. So then why did King David need that harp? That was his alarm clock to wake him from sleep. If Moshe really knew exactly when midnight was, why didn't Moshe say approximately midnight God's going out to smite the firstborn? Right, right, exactly. That's the Gemara's answer. Moshe kasavar, Moshe thought, maybe Pharaoh's sorcerers, astrologers, maybe they'll mess up. And then they'll say, oh, it's midnight, you see, the plague didn't hit. Even though it'll hit 5 minutes later, that'll be enough for them to have a claim. And they'll say, Moshe bidayu, Moshe's a faker. And that's what our sages taught us. Lamed l'shumcha lomar eini yodea. A person should get accustomed to saying, I don't know. Shema titbadeh, lest you err v'teachez, and then you'll be caught by your word. So a person should rather say, I'm not exactly sure, than to make encompassing statements. rather say things that people will recognize are true than say things that are true and people will think there's fault in them. Moshe knew he was right. He didn't doubt what God had told him. He knew it would be exactly at midnight, but we should be careful not to leave room for others in their errors to think that we have erred. We have to be careful not only to be right, but to let others think we're right when we're right. Ravashi amar bepalgo ta detleis anagel beser havikai v'achi kama Moshe liYisrael amar kadosh b'chol emachak achzot alayla ki aydan ani yotzev toch mitzrayim. Ravashi says Moshe was talking to the Jewish people in this speech, even though the verses don't seem to indicate that, and he was telling them, he was giving them the speech at midnight, and he was telling them just like God told him, now just like now is midnight, tomorrow at midnight this is going to happen. Moshe told the Jewish people just like now it's midnight, tomorrow at this time is going to be the plague of the firstborn. So what do we see today? We saw, aside from the introduction to the Ein Yaakov, we saw that when in the presence of the dead, one isn't supposed to speak idle chatter, one is definitely not supposed to speak Divrei Torah. We spoke that David used to get up at midnight. We discussed the term Neshef, and we said Neshef is jumping, either the day jumping in or the day jumping out. We said that David used to awaken at the beginning of the night, and David used to awaken at the middle of the night, and either David meant that midnight would never pass and he was sleeping, because until midnight he was like a horse that he would learn and doze off and then get up and learn again until midnight, and then from midnight on he would strengthen himself like a lion, or else until midnight he'd learn Torah and from midnight he'd sing songs before his creator. What was the other tilts we saw? We asked how could David know exactly when midnight was. We said he knew by the harp, that the northern wind would blow and wake him from his sleep or tell him exactly when midnight was. We said that the elders would come in and tell him, how do we get Parnassa? And David would tell him, okay, first try to work it out between yourselves. When they said that couldn't work, he'd tell him, okay, you could use the army to amass more wealth. And then we went through the whole procedure before they went to war. We said they're called Kreti and Pleti because they cut and give amazing words. And we ended off by discussing that Moshe really knew when midnight was and that a person should say with approximation to ensure that others won't think that he's erred. Even if he, in truth, has said the truth, he should ensure that others won't think he's there. So that brings us to Daf Hey Amud Aleph in the Ein Yaakov. Okay.
That's what I learned from my last Shidduch try. That's the one thing I learned.